In all honesty, thank you for all the performers tonight, Katie and Kylie. Thank you so much for playing for us. We enjoyed that very much. And Chris and Elijah, thank you so much for singing for us, for Jeremy playing along. Appreciate it. And if you, and if any of you guys ever want to play for us,
I do.
Then we'll let you. But see, if you were here last week, you could have prepared and told me. So you can play next week at my parents' house.
I'll do that.
Okay, all right. Next week, come and hear Brad perform at my parents' house. They have a piano. So honestly, though, whoever, if anyone ever wants to play a song or just an instrument or a solo, whatever, please, you know, we have our gifts, we have our abilities to use to the glory of God. So thank you so much to all of you guys, seriously. So let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word tonight, Father, that it would do its work in our lives, Lord, that we would learn from it, and as we learn, that help us to be obedient, cause us to be obedient through your word, Father. Cause us to glorify you in all that we do and say and think, Father, for that is the ultimate purpose of our lives, and that is to glorify you in everything that we do, whether we eat or drink. Let us glorify you, O God, we pray. We pray, Lord, that we would be changed through your word, that it would convict us, Lord. We, Lord, ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Lord, we are sorry for when we fall short and we don't consider you a holy and just God. Father, help us to have you at our minds all the time, Father. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us, Father, to have you as our priority in our heart, Lord, that you would be number one in our heart, that there would be no competing allegiances, there would be no competing love, that you would have our soul heart, you alone, Father, would be our treasure and our prize, Lord. So we thank you for your great love to us. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, to suffer and die in our place, Father. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. All right. So if you open up to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We finished chapter 1 last week. So we'll start a new chapter tonight. So let's read Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And we'll read all the way to 5, but we'll just cover through the first part of verse 3. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So if we remember from chapter 1, just going back just a little bit briefly, we know that Paul here is writing this letter to Titus, okay, and he has left him in Crete, okay, and he has given Titus the task of finish the task, finish the things that were left undone. And what was the task that Titus had to finish? Do we remember? Anyone? Did he have to finish washing dishes?
Somebody that was trained by a disciple to keep the church in line.
Somewhat he had to keep the church in line, but specifically,
appoint elders.
Okay, he was to appoint elders, to ordain and appoint elders in Crete throughout the different little towns and cities of Crete to go along and appoint elders. Okay, so now, what things is he going up against? What are some of the things that the false teachers were teaching and presenting in Crete. Anyone? What was he going up against? What types of teachings was he having to combat? Okay, thank you. A little more insight there? Any more
insight? Liars and lazy gluttons.
Okay, yeah. Chris?
The Jewish myths and their bent commandments of men.
Okay. Specifically against Jewish fables, okay? And do we remember from last week what the word for that is? Well, he pretty much said myth, okay? And commandments of men. Now, what did that have to do with? What was commandments of men? What did that mean? Anyone remember from last week? What was a commandment of men? What did that entail, Elijah?
Things that were above and beyond or beside the word that was actually given, like the ceremonial washing of hands.
Okay. So we had people who were teaching the Cretans here. And remember, they're probably very confused. They're baby Christians. They don't know exactly yet what's right or wrong. And you have these false teachers who are coming in, and they're deceiving them. They're confusing. They were telling them that they had to be circumcised. They had to wash their hands still. Don't eat this meat. Do eat this meat. Keep the Sabbath and this and that. Okay. So these are what you call the commandments of men. And these men were holding to their own traditions and commandments before they would hold to the commandments of God, and that is to love Him and to love each other. They were so big on keeping these traditions and these commands that their heart was impure. They were making it just an outside thing, but their heart was dirty and vile and wicked. Okay, and so they were deceiving the people here. Okay, so remember, in fact, 16 says that these men, these false teachers, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him, right? Okay, so now, he continues right on now. Paul says, But as for you, Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. In contrast to what the false teachers were teaching, in contrast to the commandments that they were burdening the people with, you, Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Okay, so the word sound, this is already the third time that Paul has used this word. The word sound, it means of doctrine, meaning sound doctrine. It means something that is true, pure, and uncorrupted. And so he likes using this word here because it has significant meaning. It is something that means that it is true, pure, and it is uncorrupted. Corrupted. Okay, so sound doctrine he's talking about here. Unlike the false teachers, unlike their deceiving words, you, Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Okay, and as the sick people that we are, being sinners and corrupt, especially the baby Christians who are learning and understanding what they're all about, knowing that, yes, we are all our sinners, we all fall short of the glory of God, and only in Him are we made well. Only in Him are we cleansed and made whole and sanctified through the blood of Christ. And so knowing that we are sick, dying people, pay attention, guys, knowing that we are sick and dying people, sound is another word that emphasizes spiritual healing. Because it is sound doctrine, only sound doctrine can make us well. We are sinners, we are sick, and we are dying, and we have to be fed truth in order that we can have spiritual healing. Because we can't get that any other way. We can't do it through commandments of men. We can't do it through fables and myths and mythology and all this other stuff, or keeping this day and not keeping that day. We are sick people. And in order for us to be made well, we need sound doctrine, and that is the Word of God always being brought towards us. That is what makes us well. That is what heals us spiritually. That is how we know how to please God. That is how we ought to know what the things we ought to do and the things we should not do. We are sick people, and sound doctrine is what heals us. not the commandments of men. That is why he says to, bless you, that is why he tells Titus, but you, Titus, look, these people are deceiving everyone. They're telling the people to do this and this and that and don't do that. And so the people are confused. And so he changes it here. He says, but for you, Titus, do this. Speak the things which are proper. Speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Doctrine means something to teach. The thing taught, instruction, a precept. And of course we know that Titus was going to be teaching the precepts of God. The same things that he was taught from Paul and the other disciples. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So here, in Timothy, Paul is saying, hold fast that which is sound. Okay? So in Titus saying, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Adam Clark writes this, Titus was to act directly opposite than the false teachers. He must teach a sacred doctrine and the things which become it. He must proclaim the truth and illustrate the truth. So not only is Titus to preach and proclaim the truth, not only is he to teach sound doctrine, but he is to illustrate sound doctrine, especially to those he was going to ordain. So if he's ordaining elders, he's going to be teaching them the solid truth and telling them, look, guys, when you teach it, you must live it. You must illustrate it. The people must see you living what you teach. Granted, they're going to fail every once in a while. But even in the failing, there's a learning experience, okay? When this guy's fall, this is how you correct it. This is how you get up and keep moving on as a Christian, as a child of God. So, Titus, you must teach it and illustrate it. The people must see you living it. The people must not only be well instructed, but they must be taught how to live the holy lives through sound doctrine and teach them to cling to this. Principle and practice must go hand in hand. Principle and practice must go hand in hand. Okay, so we get the idea here. He's taught us about ordaining elders and the qualifications that go along with that and how important they are. We see that as Paul came to Crete, he brought the good news, he proclaimed Christ and Christ alone, him crucified, him risen from the dead. He leaves, Titus is in charge, Titus is appointing elders, and they have all these false teachers here, causing all this confusion, right? Picture that in your mind. Picture all the little towns that they've gone through preaching the Word of God and how many have been converted. And they're learning great truths. And Titus is trying with sound doctrine to grow them up in the faith. That they won't fall to these men. That they won't fall to myths and fables. That they won't think they must be circumcised or do this and that. And that is why he shifts it. He says, but you, Titus, unlike this, you be the direct opposite of these men. These men are evil and wicked. And they profess to know God, but they deny Him in their works. Inward, they are corrupt and evil. But you, Titus, show them what it means to be pure and holy, not only outside, but where it's most important, inside. In the inward man. You show them through sound doctrine what it looks like to be a true Christian. Not just mere talk, not just doing these works to earn you anything, but show them what it's like to be a true Christian. Show them how they ought to talk, and show them how they ought to act. Show them the commandments that they should keep, the commandments that are important. And so he goes into some of these things that are proper for sound doctrine. Verse 2. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. So older men, which is better translated aged men, it means advanced in years. So he specifically he's talking about older men. Okay? And Paul obviously is now an aged man at this point. He's somewhere around the age of 60 years old at this point when he's writing Titus this letter. So he's saying, teach them through sound doctrine that the older men, okay, so the old guys there in Crete, teach them this, Titus, that the old men be sober. Old men are to be sober, which means temperate, self-controlled, especially in respect to wine. You awake there, Brad? Especially in respect to wine, because all too easy it is for the old man to, you know, and in our times you can picture them sitting in their rocking chair, watching TV, and just having a beer all the time. And so they become, they're not controlled. Instead, they'd be controlled by the wine. And so he says here, temperate, self-controlled, especially in respect to wine. Just because you're old now doesn't mean you can just sit around and be given to wine, to be drunk. Don't let that be a pattern for the old men. They still have much work to do. They have many years of wisdom, and they can take the young men and teach them all that they have learned. Not to have an excuse just because you're old to sit in your house and be given to wine. So be self-controlled, it means. One cannot be given to wine. Sober is to be vigilant, which is keenly watchful to detect danger. So the old people, the old men, are to be vigilant, looking out for danger. And I'm not just talking about a lion coming in town. We're talking spiritually here. To look out for these false teachers and to warn the people. They are to have a keen eye looking around, being careful. And as the older men, they should have more wisdom if they've been a Christian a long time. Okay? Two reasons for this. Two reasons that they are to be sober. One is because they're closer to dying. And so how much more should the old people, anticipating going home, but making sure that their lives are pure and holy and sober? Two is because the wisdom of their years that they have in them, that they can then go to the younger men and share with them the struggles that they've had. And where they can help them in the same struggles. So the old man, Titus, teach them they need to be sober. Next one then is reverent or grave. That means to worship, to venerate, to be reputable. It means to be dignified. Dignified. But not only earthly dignity, but heaven dignity. That which is derived from a higher citizenship, a heavenly one. Okay, so not so much concerned about having an earthly, being dignified earthly, but more important, eternal. Being dignified with an eternal sense, which is a possession of all believers. There lies something of majestic and awe-inspiring qualities, which does not repel but rather invites and attracts, okay? So he's saying here to be sober and reverent. Your life should reflect, you should be reverent. That is attractive to the other people, especially to the younger men. So when the younger men are looking around and they see the old men, they should see that the old men are reverent. It should be attractable to them. They should say, hey, when I'm old like that, I want to be reverent. I want to be godly like that. For us, we should look to the older man and say, I have to learn to be reverent like this old man. I see him trying to be godly. I see him trying to be dignified in a heavenly manner. And I want to be like that when I'm older. Next one then is temperate. Okay, teach the old man to be sober, reverent, and temperate. That is, they are to be understanding. They are to be discreet. Therapy, it means of a sound mind. self-disciplined in one's freedom. And that's important here. Because we all are free in Christ, but with our freedom there should come discernment. Okay? And the older men here, with their years of knowledge, should be self-disciplined in their freedom. And they should be self-restrained in all passions and desires. Now we learned that for the elder, they too should have a master over their desires and over their passions. Well, same goes for the older men. They are to be self-restrained, to have a master over their passions and desires. The next ones are then, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Okay, so here is now the fourth time that Paul uses the word sound. So this time he's saying sound, that which is true, pure, or uncorrupted. So pure faith. They're to have a pure faith, not a fake faith, not a counterfeit faith like these false teachers have. And a true and uncorrupted love. Remember what we learned in 1 John? What did John tell us to... He gave an example of who not to love like. Anyone remember that?
Cain.
What did Cain do? Who did he take out? He took out his brother Abel. And remember John telling us, hey, don't love like this. Don't love like Abel. He took out his own brother. Yeah, sorry, Cain. Don't love like Cain. Yes, love like Abel. Don't love like Cain. Okay? But let your love be true. When you see your brother in need, you meet that need for him. You don't just say, well, you know, be warm and well fed, and then don't give them a coat and don't give them food. So he's saying here, let your faith be pure. Let your love be pure. Let your love for God be profound and great. And then let your love for the brethren be great. Let your love be true. And so love then comes with charity. And some of the translations have charity in place of love. So when we love, especially those around us, charity naturally comes. So when I love someone, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to do good works of love towards them. You understand what this is saying here? And so the old men were to be sound in faith and in love and in patience. And in patience. Calvin refers these three as to sum up of Christian perfection. Not that they're perfect, but he says, refers these to as some of Christian perfection, being sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in patience. Patience carries it means enduring perseverance. So think about what happens when you become old. Your body even more so is decaying. And so there becomes more aches and pains, right? More hardships. Your loved ones are dying. Maybe you're like your spouse. You're getting older. Your spouse is going to die. You're going to die. And so even more so, you are to endure perseverance. Sound and pure and true in faith, in love, and in patience. I wanted to read something to you real quick. This also is from Calvin. It says this: by faith we worship God, for neither calling upon Him nor any exercises of godliness can be separated from it. Love extends to all the commandments of the second table, that is, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Next follows patience as the seasoning of faith and love. For without patience, faith would not long endure. And many occurrences are taking place every day. Instances of unhandsome conduct or evil temper, which irritate us so much that we should not only be languid, but almost dead to the duties of love towards our neighbor, if the same patience did not support us. And I'll read from him again in a minute. And so he's saying here to the older men, and very importantly, it's almost like he's writing to Titus and he's trying to get Titus' attention here. He says, but you, Titus, listen up now. You speak the things that what are proper with sound doctrine. Teach the old men this. Emphasize this to the older men. They must be sober. They must be reverent. They must be temperate. Granted, yes, they're still sinners. They're going to mess up. But this must be their character. This must be what they're all about as Christians. And for some of the older men, they've gone the whole life without being a Christian. Being a Gentile pagan country, until Paul came to preach the good news, they're used to habits of sinful things. And so for the older ones, it's important that this is how they now are to be, to act, to live. And so they must be pure in faith, in love, and in patience. So now verse 3. The older women likewise. So in the same manner that the older men are to take heed to these things, same with the older women, and this means aged women, advanced in their years. They're older women likewise. They are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things. And I'll pick up the rest of chapter, verse 3 next week, Lord willing. Okay, so the older women now. So now he shifts from older men to older women. Okay, so Titus, now in the same way as with the men, make sure that the older women are reverent in behavior. That they're reverent in behavior. Just the same way that the older men are to be reverent, the women are to be reverent, but especially in their behavior. Be reverent in their behavior. Always thinking about those who are around them, the younger women who are watching them. They are to be reverent in their behavior. Reverent in behavior, or as in the King James Version puts it, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. It says, Elijah, you want to read that part for us there?
The whole verse?
Sure.
The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things.
Okay, so what this means here, when it says that they are to be reverent in their behavior, in other words, that their conduct is that which reflects holiness. You understand that? You see what that means here? So the older women's conduct should reflect a holiness, should reflect that they are a new person, should reflect that they are a daughter of the King. And because the younger women will be watching them, they need to realize that. And keep in mind that, hey, I am an older woman, my behavior needs to reflect holiness. It needs to reflect my Savior. And so for whatever reason here, he adds behavior here to this. To the men, he just says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate. But to the women, older women, he says that they be reverent in behavior. Reverent in behavior. That which is becometh holiness. This is position or state. It is condition spoken of external circumstances. Okay, so their demeanor, their behavior, their conduct. Their conduct, their demeanor needs to reflect that of their Savior. Okay, so their conduct should be such as the gospel requires of them. As an older lady, they should be this and this. Okay? Next, then, they are not to be slanderers or false accusers. The older women are to not be slanderers, or other ways called a false accuser. Now, the Greek for false accuser is the word and I'm probably going to say it wrong, diabolos. Okay, now, anyone recognize this word? Anyone else? Thank you, yes. I knew I was pronouncing it wrong. Diablos. What does that word mean, or who is it used for? Okay, the devil. Okay. Satan is called by that name because originally he accused or slandered God in paradise. Because false accusing is the devil's work, they that do his work shall bear his name. So this is a big deal here. He's telling the women here, hey, do not be slanderers. Do not be like Satan. When you do his work, you bear his name. And so women, guard your tongues, he's saying to the older women here. Guard what you say against other people. You should be edifying the other people, not false accusing them, not slandering them. That's the work of Satan. And so this is what we should see or not see from the older women here. The older women's conduct should be holiness, and the same goes for what they say about their people. They have the younger women watching them. Again, I'll read from Calvin. Okay. Talkativeness, yes, that's a word. Talkativeness is a disease of women, and it is increased by old age. Don't be offended by that, okay? Talkativeness is a disease of women, and is increased by old age. To this is added that women never think that they are eloquent enough if they are not given to prattling and to slander, if they do not attack the characters of all. The consequence is that old women, by their slanderous talkativeness, as by a lighted torch, frequently set on fire many houses. Pretty deep words there from Calvin. And so this is very important for the older women here. And that is why Paul is writing and stressing this to Titus, that the older women are not to be slanderers. Don't be busybodies with their mouths, but use wholesome words. Edify your neighbor. Build them up. Speak that which is loving to them. Okay, so we'll end there. We'll pick up the rest of verse 3 starting next week, but I just want to read it. It says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, and not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And it continues in verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now I skipped the given to wine part because it actually ties in to what's coming up next in verse 4. So that's why I kind of skipped it for this week. But be reading up and be ready for that, Lord willing, next Friday. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you so much. Lord, help us to understand what is taking place here in Titus. Help us to dive in deep, to understand exactly what Titus's task is here. Help us to understand that even in our time, this is how old men are to act. And this is how old women were to act. But help us to understand of what was taking place here. Here you have older men and women, generations of living in sin and pagan rituals and things they would do. And now Paul has come and preached the good news, and their lives have been transformed. And they're a new people. They are now children of God. And now how important it was for Titus to teach them these things. Teach them the things that are proper for sound doctrine. And so we realize how important sound doctrine is. Because it is in sound doctrine that we are healed, that we are made well. It is in sound doctrine we learn that old men are to be sober and reverent and temperate and in faith, in hope, in love, in patience. We know what it means to be true in these things. And in sound doctrine, we know for the older women what it means to not be slander in our behavior. To be reverent in our behavior and not to be slanderers. We can only be healed by these things through sound doctrine. Even now for the older men and the older women, Lord, as we grow, if we grow to be old men and if we grow to be old women, remind us of these truths. And remind us that it is only the Word of God that will help us in these areas. It is only the Word of God that will heal us in these areas. Only the Word of God can help us to have a holy behavior. Only the Word of God can teach us to have words of edification and love and patience. And so help us not to just dismiss this because it was only for the Cretans. But let us drink this in and let it do its work in our very lives. So that if we do grow old, we know how we ought to act. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.